Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 2nd, 2022. And by the way, Terry or Jan, am I coming through okay? I hope so. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. And also join our campaign for Constitutional Sheriff. You'll find a link on the right side and also one on the front page. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading. And again, before we get going, am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you're pretty good, John. I can hear you okay.
Yeah, I can too.
Okay, all right. We're going to go to our scripture reading. It's a little different than we normally do because of... I don't have my regular computer going. Now, let me put this aside. Okay, this is Romans chapter 7. We'll pick up where we left off. We were Romans chapter 6 last week, and it's read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Excuse me. Okay. I don't have access to a mute button here. I know it's here somewhere, but... All right, last week, as I mentioned, Gerard was looking at a few things and sharing some things that him and I was discussing, and shared some video. So I just want to cover a couple of things on that real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I want to get into the open forum as quick as possible. Last week he brought up the fact that we had a page. Let me see if I can find that page. Okay. It's under today's issues. And it is, QAnon News. That's what he was looking at. Just want to let everyone know that since that program last Monday, two more recordings came up. So there's recording number 13 and recording number 14. And there's quite a bit of warning in here, and it seems a lot of talk on October, the Red October, and that we're moving into really, really serious times right now. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to warn everybody. We speak about this from time to time, but I'd like to warn everybody. You need to go out and get as much food into the house as possible, because when things go bad, it's going to go bad. We're probably going to have the banks closed down. You're not going to be able to get any money that's in the bank. I would remove most of my money from the bank. I've already done that, but I'm suggesting to everyone they might want to do that also. Things are about ready to hit the fan. There's no doubt about it. Durham is surfaced, of course, and he's got that his case. I think it's going to start on the 11th or the 14th. I don't remember which, but it's coming not a week or two. That case is going to open. It's going to have a lot of revelation in it. And there's a lot of other things going. I think the military is about ready to move. We don't have much time one way or the other. Worst case scenario, we make it through the end of the year, but it's very doubtful that's going to happen. This Anon that was speaking here on 14 is really serious about this happening now. Right now. And he's not the only one that gave the warning. Dave from X22 gave the warning also. Christian Patriot gave the warning. And I'm just talking, this is just today, these last couple of days now, that Red October is here. Things are about to happen. And it's going to get real dicey, and people need to be ready. So food already is difficult to get. I'm seeing literally here in New York where I'm at, literally things are doubled in price. I mean, a dozen and a half eggs were costing $8 and change. I think it was $8.49 or something like that. I bought a couple of cans of sauce today. And getting some feedback here. So whoever is unmuted, please mute back up. And literally double the price than what it was a couple of weeks ago. In the store, I'm seeing everything. Bread, I was paying for bread. It was $1.50, for the Stop and Shop brand bread. That's gone up to $2.50. So everything is coming up almost double. Some of it double, some more than double, some just under double. And it's going to get worse. There's a can shortage. So if you're going out to buy canned food, when people hit real hard to run in the stores, there's not going to be nothing left on the shelves. And when that happens, there's no supply coming in. They've cut our supply lines off. They've cut our fuel lines off coming out of Alaska. That's why our prices have gone so high. They went down for a while, but they're heading back up already. They cut the fuel supply off out there and coming out of Russia, going into Europe and Germany, I think. And we know the deep state did that. And again, we've had products that have been, you know, backed up at sea for a very long time. I'm not sure where it's at right now, but nothing seems to be flowing. And again, as I mentioned, there seems to be a can shortage. And with gas going up more again, that's really going to skyrocket soon. Then we're going to have some serious problems when you put all this together. Plus, they're trying to get some havoc going. If they blow off something in the upper atmosphere to create an EMP or something, we're going to have some other serious problems. Now, the good news on the EMP problem is that we are protected. Our infrastructure in the United States is protected. Nobody seems to be talking about that, but I know that for a fact. And if you go to our website and you take a look on, let me open that page up so you can take a look real quick. I thought it was up. It must be down. We have a lot of information, and we also have information of what Trump has done when he was in office and the company that he contracted with, the military contracted with, shall I say, to create the EMP shield. So that's available, and people can get that. The problem is people's homes are not protected. Our infrastructure is protected, but your home is not protected. So if we get hit with an EMP, you know, we may still have electricity, but nothing in your home is going to work. Your computer is going to blow out. They're going to be inoperable. Might as well just throw them away. I don't know if they can even be repaired. Everything is going to be, your car is going to be destroyed if an EMP blasts off in our atmosphere, upper atmosphere, or if a sun solar flare. We were missed by 9 days, a major solar flare that could have really upset the entire world. And that missed us by 9 days. I think it was about 6 months ago. We have a report in here. If you haven't looked at these videos, I strongly suggest you go look at these videos this week and consider getting protection. Now, the order was put out to the electric companies. You know, we have Central Hudson here in New York that serves us. And they were supposed to notify the people of the problem with the EMP shield to let it be known that the infrastructure is now protected, satellites are now protected, but your home is not protected. And they have not notified the people. And your car is not protected. And if you got a generator and you think you're going to turn your generator on, forget about it. It's not protected either. Now, unless you can get those things, you get your car and your generator in your house somehow into some Faraday cage, which is not going to happen. That's an impossibility. You know, you're going to lose everything if an EMP does get blown off into the atmosphere. Or, well, I think it's an atomic weapon or something that they blow off in the atmosphere that would cause that EMP. I think that's how that would work. But anyway, the other thing is a potential sun flare. A solar flare, so that could do the same, very same thing. At least with that, we get a 24-hour, warning of that. If you're paying attention, if you're not paying attention, you're not going to get that warning. That 9-day thing, I was not aware of until well after it happened, many, many months after, or a long time after. I went out and bought on Amazon these bags, and they have little bags, big bags, medium-sized bags, you know, all kinds of size bags, and you can put your electronics into it. I bought one for my laptop. I bought one for my backup hard drives. If I'm aware that something's coming down, I'll throw the cell phones in there too. So at least they'll all be protected in that. But I did get the EMP, the shield. I got that on my car, and I got that on my generator and on my home. And by the way, we have partnership with these people. So if you decide to go protect yourself with that and you order through and get an EMP shield, you get a $50 discount by just using, I think it's called a promo code or a coupon. And we have the code NLA. Just put in NLA and you get a $50 discount. But people should really seriously think about it, because if that happens, you're not going to drive nowhere. And if your home gets all fried up, your generator is not going to work anyway, and you're in trouble. But even more important than that, I think, and I don't know, I guess it would be equal as important to some degree anyway, is food. So people should have at least a bare minimum of a month's supply of food. I don't think it's going to be much longer than a month or two that we're going to be really in a bad situation, but it's coming and it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen this month, it'll happen next month. But I'm pretty well convinced it's probably going to happen this month. The good news is, of course, the arrest will be going on. A lot of things will be happening. And when we get to the other side, it's going to be a whole new world. And people are going to, it's going to be a whole new dynamic. We're going to be going into a paradigm shift. And, there'll be a lot of compensation to we the people. And eventually our monies will be unfrozen. I think, and this is just a suspicion, I really don't know this to be the case. If you look at your dollar bill, it's a federal note. It's not a dollar, it's a note, okay? And I think it says Federal Reserve note. That's not guaranteed by the United States of America. That's the United States of America Inc. Dollar or note. In theory, the person who has the most dollars has the most debt and is the biggest loser. But I have a feeling that we will be compensated for dollar to dollar on our notes. But I wouldn't really bank on that. The best thing to do is turn to change, just coins. You can get boxes of nickels, dimes, quarters, halves, and that's what I got is halves. A box of halves is $500, which is valued on the other side of things. $25,000 worth of product that you could buy today is what that value of $500 would be once we get to the other side of the economy. Because the U.S., it's a U.S. coin, it's a U.S. mint, and it's guaranteed. So that's why I would go to coins. I was buying a lot of junk silver, which is silver dollars and half dollars and dimes and quarters. and I even got lots of boxes of nickels because they still have the original content, metal content, nickel and copper. I was talking with Gerard about this. I think he said that, silver was down. It's a good deal right now. I think he said it was about $17 or $18 for an ounce of silver, that would be for, let's say you go out and get junk silver, which would be a silver dollar. You'd probably get it for a buck cheaper. But nevertheless, why spend $16 for a silver dollar when you can spend $1 for two halves at the bank, which has copper and nickel in it? At least it's got some value inside it. But it's guaranteed because it's U.S. Mint. So I shifted over from, instead of buying silver anymore, I just keep getting coins. I got lots of coins. And nickels and halves, again, is my favorite. So that's what I suggest for people to do. Anyway, if you haven't gone through these videos here on underneath our page here on EMP Shield, you need to go through it. Watch the videos. Be kept up to date what's going on and what the dangers are that we've generally covered, and how Trump had turned around and protected our infrastructure. All of that is discussed in here, and how they created with military testing this EMP Shield that works. And that will protect your entire home and anything plugged in at the time. So if we knew that an EMP was going to hit us, let's say a solar flare was going to hit us, and we knew that was going to happen, you can protect your cell phone, for instance, just by plugging it into your house if you have an EMP protector down on your electrical board, your circuit breaker board. So anyway, people need to think about that. Now, Gerard had played some videos last week, and I would like to just play maybe about an 8-minute video clip. Let me see where it's at. I think it's here. No, not there. Maybe this was the page. I got to go backwards. Yeah, I think it was. Okay, this back again. Okay, this page, did I go too far? I don't know what happened here. Let me try that again. Okay, this page, I want to just play this one short clip because this is all telling them where we're at. And then I want to play an 8-minute clip and then share a paper with people, and then we're going to go to an open forum. But this is Obama, and this was at a dinner, I believe, right before he was leaving office, and at that point they thought Hillary was going to win, and this is what he had to say. I know I played this once before, but it's worth playing again. It's very short.
Good evening, everybody. It is an honor to be here at my last, and perhaps the last, White House Correspondents' Day. You all look great. The end of the Republic has never looked better. I do apologize. I know I was a little late tonight. I was running on CPT.
Well, I don't think it's necessary to go any further. The key point, of course, the end of the Republic never looked better. That was the purpose of the Democratic Party, by the way. That's why the Democratic Party had risen into power. I often was confused over the years, and unfortunately Republicans think that we're a democracy also, but I've often been confused on, I understood the difference when I, even in the very beginning, when I decided to become a Republican, when I wanted to go out and vote for the first time. I was pretty young at the time and trying to figure out what party I should belong to. Most of my family were Democrats, but it was a different Democrat back in those days. But I became a Republican because I understood what the Republic was, and we're not a democracy even back then. And and so I became a Republican. But I realized that now, the Federalist, the purpose of the Federalists was to destroy the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and to try to prevent the Bill of Rights from going forward, and that's why the Anti-Federalist Papers came to be, which was a discussion, of course, really concerning too much power with the federal government, the Constitution, the way it was worded. But they were able to neutralize it just by putting in a Bill of Rights, which is very interesting, because when we read the Constitution in light of the Bill of Rights, that it cannot violate nothing, no power or authority that we've given them in the Constitution can be taken to a point where it would be repugnant to the Bill of Rights, because then, therefore, it would be null and void. And when you read the Declaration, I mean, the Bill of Rights, it says right in the beginning, concerning the fact that a number of the states, when signing the Constitution, wanted a Bill of Rights. And I believe there were 13 or 14 rights that they wanted in there. And they did accomplish all of them in 10, because they combined some of them. And it became the Bill of Rights became 10 amendments. So anyway, We were protected by that. The Anti-Federalist really is what brought that about. The Anti-Federalist movement really was pursued by James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, being abroad at the time. But him and Madison had really been chewing at this for a long time. Same thing with the Federalist. Madison was one of the main speakers the conversation or the argument or the debates or whatever you want to call it. And people should read the Federalist Papers. They're kind of long and sometimes a little bit awkward in a sense, not much really. But it really will give you a good understanding and a complete understanding, actually, of the Constitution, and especially when you apply the Bill of Rights, and anything repugnant to that Bill of Rights is null and void. Nothing can violate any of our unalienable rights. But the whole purpose, again, the Federalist, the purpose of the Federalist movement was taken over by the enemy, the banksters ultimately, to destroy the Republic and to bring in the banks. They did get their way in two different ways, and they've almost discovered, they almost destroyed the Republic as time has gone on. And almost all my life, as far as I can remember, they keep calling us a democracy. So they've convinced a lot of people. And we've lost our way because of that, because if we really focused in on the law, we wouldn't be having all these problems that we've got. Instead, we've been focusing in, because they brought us that way, on democracy. And the Democrat Party picked up on that, and and continue to erode our republic and to destroy our way of life. And we have to bring it back. A couple of things. I don't know whether I mentioned this before. I did mention this before, but I don't know if I mentioned it in the past couple of weeks. So we're working on some books. Oh, yeah, I did mention that. We're working on school books. So we'll be talking more about that. We need to get proper education in our schools. And when we get a little closer of getting these books together, that's where we're going to start talking a lot more on it. But we'll create a page on our website underneath starting a committee of safety, which we may already have. I may have already done this. I got to go looking around for that. But let me go back to the other video that I wanted to play, which is on the same page. Hopefully I set the mock up. I think I did, but maybe not. No, I didn't because I left the page.
Hello, everyone.
Let me see if I can get to the mock.
So, in 20, as tens of millions of people answer the polls at U.S. CyberCom and U.S.
Wake up to this, but it takes time. It's information war. So,
okay, this is an hour-long video, a little longer than an hour, hour and 6 minutes. But I'm only going to play 8 minutes of this, but I suggest that people go back and listen to this whole video. It is really a powerful video. It brings a revelation of what's going on, and it makes it clear. A lot of proof in here, making proof of devolution and, you know, Q talking to the Patriots concerning that through Anons. Well, actually, Q directly and Anons helping to understand it. And of course, we have that one Anon that surfaced back at the end of August, which we've got 14 reports from him since August. And he has covered everything. Listen to the most latest and maybe the last two or three, it'd be number 14, 13, and 12, and maybe 11. Listen to those first, I think, so that you're kind of up to date because things are happening right now. But definitely you should go back to number one and work your way through to get the whole picture. And it's really great news. It's bad news in the sense that we're going to be going through a hard time for about a month. Word is out now that the Space Force has finally taken total control over the satellites that Musk has been putting up there. He was contracted out by the military to do so. They're probably going to bring down the internet, but I think Space Force will be able to bring it back up through those satellites. I know we've heard a lot. I think Musk himself talked about this. He wanted to get free internet access to everyone. And there are places in the world that doesn't have internet access, but with up in satellites, and he's blanking the world with these satellites, which really is, of course, all part of Space Force. So it's military and it's our military. But in any event, we'll be able to get internet without ever plugging into Ethernet or anything and just getting a direct link to a satellite anywhere in the world. So that's where we're heading for. I'm pretty sure one of the things that this Anon made point of is the fact that that's, I think it was just in the last one that I listened to, which was number 14. He said that that this was up and going and being handed over to the military as we speak right now. So if the internet comes down, they can probably bring it right back up. And they could probably bring it up anyway from other sources. But if it is sabotaged in some way, we've already got another internet system set up to go. So a satellite system that will you know, work out the internet. So anyway, people should look at that. Okay, I'm going to play these 8-minute clips. It's pretty revealing, and I don't know that I can add much more to what we're talking about, but when we're done with this, if Gerard wants to pipe in and add anything to this, anything else we should know or think about, and that'll be fine, and then we're going to go move over, I think, to an open forum. But here we go with this video.
So the greatest information war that's ever been waged before in history. It's absolutely amazing. You've done an exceptional job of putting this information together. No, I love this one part because you talk about how basically Biden was not sworn in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like that's that disconnect. And when you talk about the information wars, it's a great analogy for it. It's a great title for this. Because once again, these same people will get up, even in the speech on Thursday night, which is optics for guys like you and I, specifically said that MAGA people are a threat to the Constitution. Well, look right there in the oath, Title 10 U.S. Code, Constitution, same Constitution that they claim to be supporting. They're not. They're talking about their Constitution of the District of Columbia. So that's why that's important. Then when you go down to you go to the actual inauguration. So on January 20th that day, I mean, it was just, you know, a guy like me, and especially if you were, I know you were paying attention too. We're sitting over there. I'm like, you know, like, I need barbecue for this, and I need, like, I need a drink for this. I need to really, like, go, man, this is freaking awesome. They're trolling this dude. This is amazing. But I always start with President Trump first because the highest honor deserves the highest honor. But Joint Base Andrews, both Air Force Ones present. And then he walks off Marine One, red carpet rollout, high honor. That's the highest honor you can receive anywhere is red carpet rollout. Mm-hmm. And this is how particular the military is on our symbols and our celebrations, our ceremonies. On the fourth ruffle, the Hail to the Chief and the 21-gun salute starts on the fourth ruffle. Not the third, not the second, not the first, not 5 minutes late, or any other kind of joke you can make. On the fourth ruffle, the 21-gun salute is supposed to start, and then Hail to the Chief is playing. Okay? That's what you witnessed with President Trump. His is real simple and straight to the point. And his speech had a lot of optics in it. We're going to a new administration. He never once mentioned Biden. He never once mentioned conceding. He never said anything. It was all optics. So you go over to the Capitol building. And, I mean, it's just, like I said, first off, the reason why we bring this up right here, these guys died in the same uniform. We've had brothers and sisters die in this uniform. The uniform is sacred to us. That's why we don't wear them in bars. That's why we don't wear them out unless we're in a ceremony where it says we can wear them. Like when you're retired like me, I can wear my dress attire at certain places. I can go to buddies' funerals in my dress attire if I want to. That's all etiquette, protocol, and standard and military regulation. And it's also honoring our brothers and sisters and family members who have died in that uniform. Not a single uniform, not one single uniform around Joe Biden on January the 20th was military regulation uniform. I mean, you had a guy that CBS has on their site, on CBS's site, still up to this day, the official inauguration page, they have a guy who's wearing multi-cam with an ACU Kevlar vest, with a brown patch bay, with no rank insignia. The insignia on there is something. I don't even know what it is. I can't tell. You can't zoom in on it. His gloves are black. Have an American flag on your gloves. In the Army, the only flag that's on your body is on your arm, and it's facing this way because it's saying we're always moving forward. Okay, mm-hmm. That right there, all that just decimated. Just anything moving forward. But then, moving forward, if you didn't see that, they had a Marine in BDUs. Marines hadn't worn BDUs since 2005. It's about 17 years you've been asleep if you didn't know that. Then he moved forward. He raises his right hand. He's swearing in on a Bible that is upside down. The Bible has a cross that's upside down. Kamala Harris swore in with a purse on top of a book. Okay, swearing to what? Follow the money. What did President Trump say? Follow the money. Follow the money. There was a lot of optics there. The Bible's upside down. The cross is upside down, which means satanic. Then he raises his right hand. And he does what? He swears in at 11:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is a violation of the 20th Amendment of the Constitution that they claim that they support. The 20th Amendment specifically says the president's term is to end and begin at what? At noon. It don't say at 11:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It says at noon. So that, then they move forward, walking down the steps. Band comes by, fourth ruffle, band plays a new song. I don't talk about that until later. They go down in a funeral procession kind of deal. All the National Guard, not a single soldier, saluted that motorcade. Now, I myself served under Obama. I didn't agree with his policies. I never voted for the guy, but I still respected the office of the president while I was in that uniform. Not a single soldier saluted. There's a video right there. Not a single soldier is saluting. Not one single soldier. Many of them have their backs turned. They're not holding guard with their backs turned to him. That's not the duty of the National Guard. They were to salute him as he passed by. They're not saluting. Okay. Then you get down to the grave of the unknown soldier. That's another desecration. Grave of the unknown soldier. Another desecration. They're showing you there's a they have a three gun volley. What they call a three volley salute. Okay? That is three volley salute is a military funeral service symbol. Okay? Two for fire and one for misfire. Then the camera that day was tricky on purpose because they didn't want the people that were like me even paying attention. I rewinded, paused. 13 rounds fired. Where you go to our chart for rounds fired. There's not just a 21 gun salute. There's a lot more. There you go. 13. There's two columns for 13. You got a rear admiral and a major general, and their song is Honors March 2, 3, and 4. Well, that wasn't the song played, and he was never in the military, so that was automatically out. Both of those columns, strike out. Well, the next column left is this. Uh-oh, Honors March 1. Oh, that was a song that was played back there when they were getting in the motorcade coming down to the funeral, okay? It sounds a lot like Hail to the Chief. It's not. You got to have a musical ear to be able to tell the difference. It sounds a lot like it, but they're slowed down. One of them's faster, one of them's slower. The other thing, Minister Resident is in that column. People are like, what is a minister resident? Well, let's Google that, and it says what? A person who takes up permanent residence in a foreign territory. Well, in military law and U.S. law and in the corporation law, as they specified in Stoutenberg versus Hennick, guess what D.C. is, the District of Columbia? It is its own foreign territory. It's not a city nor state. So President Trump received the full grade constitutional republic by law, inauguration and military regulation, and Biden was given a full grade funeral service.
Wow. And you know, I've been saying it all along, the guy's been
okay. That's gonna be about it for that. Gerard, you got anything to add to any of this stuff? Because I know you brought a lot of this stuff up last week and given a lot of good warnings. And I don't know if Prent is here.
This guy is pretty good. I like him. And, of course, that Anon is in the same, direction as him, because he knows military. Hang on a minute. Let me mute this phone.
Yeah, somebody's feeding back.
It's me. Okay, that's better. Anyway, he understands military protocol and tradition and all that, and there are certain things that, like, a Marine would just never do, and he understands that. And so when they do some things, they're sending a message, you know. And if you haven't been in the military and you don't know that stuff, I mean, this guy was a special forces guy. He has pretty good clearances, and I think that's why he gets some good intel. And the other guy has another guy that's a military. He has two guys that mentor him, and one of them is military. And they asked him to come in to educate the people because they understood that this was important to do to get everybody on board when they did the big reveal, which is going to happen this month, the big reveal. So can you... Anyway, by the way, silver's already back up to 20. It started going up today. I don't know if it's going to stop because it's predicted to go up to crazy.
I think people should go get U.S. coins because U.S. coins follows the inflation and follows the deflation. So as things go up and down, the U.S. coin goes along with it. So when it goes back to full value, it's going to have full face value, and that's guaranteed. And that's a constitutional issue.
I've got to tell you. If silver blasts off to the moon like they're predicting, you won't be able to buy it. Them coin dealers are not going to sell it to you when they know that it's going up like that. You know what I mean?
They're
going to just close their window down.
Oh, they're not going to sell the silver, you're saying?
They're not going to sell it because just because the spot price is one thing, the street price is another.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, once things go back, then the silver coin will have its silver coin value, and I don't know that it'll have any more. There may be a period of time when it will go so crazy that you could take it and turn it in for gold, and that's what I would do. If silver really went through the roof, I mean, and it may very well, because I've heard for a long time silver could surpass gold, and there's many reasons for that. but it would only be for a short period of time, and then it would come back and eventually get its level of 20 to 1, because that's what.
Well, there is a problem. The problem is that silver is more scarce than gold now, and they got
that's,
just a
bit that's why that's why the price may go way up, and during that time period, if that time period is in between the completion of the reset, okay, and now, okay, so that people are selling silver for a much higher price. I mean, I've got a lot of silver, mostly in junk silver, and so then I would take all that junk silver and whatever silver I have, and I'd turn it to gold at that point. Because, you know, its value is high, but eventually it'll come back down because, again, the junk silver particularly, well, silver will eventually go back when the economy is reset and completely done and brought back to a constitutional economy again, gold and silver, then the value will be 20 to 1. That's the way it was when the Fed came to being. It was 20 to 1, and they destroyed it within years. They started destroying that whole process.
I don't think it's ever going to get back 20 to 1 because I think silver is so rare, and it's going to get rarer.
Well, no, the silver has got to go back to 20 to 1 for the purpose of its face value on a coin. Okay, maybe there's something else going on there that I don't know. I know the least amount that silver ever was prior to the Fed, and I think right up until the Fed, and this is kind of weird, I didn't really understand this. I say 20 to 1, but it was actually 19.94. So it's like $19.94, let's say, is what it was to equal 1 ounce of gold when the Fed came into being. And it was like that for a short period of time.
What makes something valuable? What makes even just these different metals that are out there, palladium and all this other stuff, what makes it value is its scarcity and its use in industry.
That's the key.
Silver is used more than gold in many, many things, colloidal silver, this, that. It's used all over the place. Electricity, they used to use it for photos, and it would go down the drain and you couldn't reclaim it. So the theory is that it's going to be more rare than gold, and so the price has to reflect that. Yes. It's supply and demand. If there's a big demand and there's a little supply, I don't care what the government wants to do. The people, you know, the industry is going to be looking for it. They're going to be willing to pay more money for it in order to get their stuff done, unless they can come up with something that takes the place of silver, which I don't know. You know, silver's pretty amazing metal. They used to drop a coin in the milk bucket, and the milk wouldn't spoil because it's antibacterial and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But anyway,
again, you know, but it's constitutional. Silver and gold is it. That's nothing else but silver and gold coins.
God's money. That's what he talks about in the Bible.
But there's no doubt in my mind that silver is going to exceed gold, its value, for a short period of time. But I do believe that it'll go back. But time will tell on that. I'm not an expert on it, but that's my
opinion. But your advice to get the coins is very good because,
yeah, especially, you know, for people who
why
don't
should you spend 20 times more? You don't have to.
Exactly. Not anymore. I wish I realized that when I was buying silver. But it doesn't matter. I've got the silver, and I've got the coins, and I've got the the coins. That's the key. And again, if you got $1,000 in the bank and you take it out in half dollars. Get halves. Okay, because that at least that has some value inside of it. It's made of gold. It's made of nickel and copper. But that's not what gives it the value. Its face value is what it is. That's a guarantee, U.S. guarantee. As long as the United States of America does not go bankrupt, and it will not go bankrupt, United States Inc. is going to go bankrupt, but not the United States of America. And so, therefore, that coin is going to have its own value, its face value. And so, you know, take your money out in coins. That's what I would. That's pretty much what I've done already. So, anyway, that's our advice. Okay, before we get going, I want to go to an open forum pretty quickly. But I want to share something here. This is a paper I've been working on. I'm in the process right now of working on a paper because the time has come. And I've mentioned this before, but I'm working at it diligently now. a paper which is going to be the final paper into the courts, and we're going to go up, and the United States Supreme Court's going to have to deal with this paper ultimately. I'm not sure exactly how this works yet. I got an individual I want to talk with that'll help me and assist me. We want to get into one of the district areas where maybe Thomas, where we can get our case heard before Thomas, to bring this case in, because we're going to be suing the judiciary. So we've got to go to the United States Supreme Court for that, to sue the judiciary. But the bottom line, it's going to be a court of record, and if that's what's necessary, then that's where we're going to head to. But I think we can get it to the United States Supreme Court. We're surely going to try. And we're going to be covering all of the things that the United States Supreme Court particularly has done in the sense of taking us away from common law and bringing us into civil law through the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, and then of course that passed the power over to the Supreme Court, which of course it was the Bar Association that steered the Congress into doing this. And then it was the Bar Association that probably wrote all of the paperwork, the elitist of the Bar Association, wrote all the rules of the court and gave it to the United States Supreme Court, and they gave it its blessing in 1938. And from that point forward, we've been off of common law. Common law is no longer abided by in the courts, so although they won't say it. And if you press the issue hard enough and you put them, the screws to them and get their feet into the fire, so to speak, and put them at risk, you sometimes can get your constitution applied in a court case. But it's going to be a very powerful case. It's really going to be summarizing all of what we've put together over the past years, all of the papers, and we filed hundreds of papers, and memorandums, papers, all kinds of things. And we've got a couple of hundred cases that we've joined into it, which we're going to be looking for people to get their homes back. And, this is going to be the evidence we're going to be using on the one hand, and justice to be found on the other hand. And just another note, I've made this note numerous times over the past month or two. Anybody that has a joinder with us, you better be paying attention, because we're not going to we'll use your joinder as evidence, but we cannot pursue your case without you. So in order to get executed, the necessities like the pulling of these bonds from all these judges to begin with, so that you can get restitution, and then being brought as evidence into the courts, and we might be able to push a little further from that point also. But we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure. It's not too clear in my mind yet on how to work that part out yet. But we are working on getting together all of these cases and getting it together in a package and putting it together on a spreadsheet and added it into the case and in a way that doesn't become too complex and doesn't clutter up the case too much. But as soon as we get that case put together, we will post it up on the internet. People will be able to go out and read it. We'll be applying it, filing it in the courts. But just recently, after going through working on some of that, I wanted to rework, because I got two other cases. We're going up against the Southern Poverty Law Center. We're suing them, which we'll share our paperwork soon on the website on what we're filing up against them. We've served them with a notice and demand, and we're going after them for really putting us into jeopardy by calling us terrorists. The other thing is, and the interesting thing about that, although we've been, I've been focused in on, in the New York Times, and as an individual, and also with the police across America, as an individual, as a potential sovereign citizen, which means cop killer, okay, and. But the interesting thing, even though they got those papers out there, there are three papers all together, and even though they got these papers out there, National Liberty Alliance, nor myself, nor Gerard, is listed on their list of terrorists, or what would you call it, the terrorist list, the sovereign citizen terrorist list. So we're not listed on that, which is kind of surprising. Since they've done three papers on us, one went to the Police Magazine, which goes across the nation, and again, one in the New York Times, and the other one up on their website. All three of those is found up on their website, by the way. But we've been very careful on what we've done, what we're doing, what we say. And they really can't twist too much of us because we got way too much information out there. You know, Gerard and I have been speaking here online since the very beginning, so we go back 14, 15 years of conversation, and there's nothing they can pull out from that unless they pull out of context. I've written 9 or 10 books, and I've got 3 more books coming up. You know, when I go through those books, they're not going to find anything subversive about me. The only thing they'll find is constitutional, founding fathers, common law, justice. That's what they'll find. That's why I think. What were you saying?
I said that's subversive according to them, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's against their constitution, as this guy had brought up. It's against, you know, their democracy. We are a threat to their democracy. Absolutely, we are a threat to their democracy because we, the people, created a republic. We didn't create a democracy. And democracy is spoken of only in the Federalist Papers. You won't find a founding father speak anything about the democracy, anything to say anything good about it. You won't find it in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or the Declaration of Independence. You will find it in the Federalist Papers. I think it was Federalist Paper number 10, particularly, and they dogged it. They spoke about we are not a democracy. A democracy is nothing but a problem. It's ultimately, as to sum it up, it's as Benjamin Franklin said, it's two wolves and a lamb deciding on what's having for dinner. And in the Republic, the other side of that coin is the Republic is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. So that's their, kind of their attitude about the democracy. They did not want a democracy. They saw it problematic. They didn't want a king that was problematic. So they ended up with, you know, really copying the nation of Israel and a true republic with one king. And that king of the court, that's the king of the court. That's where you get your king. King is the king of the court, which... every court has the king's bench in it, which is 12 individuals, our peers, who makes a decision and is sworn in to do the will of the king of the court, which is God, which brings us to justice. It brings us to, you know, really ultimately gets to the word of God, what is right and wrong, the difference between good and evil. All right, well, anyway... I rewrote this file on demand. It used to be a one-pager. I tried to keep it as a one-pager, but it is a two-pager. I'm not going to read through all of this, but I'm just going to read through it just generally speaking, and I think people will see how powerful this is. I did put this up. If you go, let me just go to the webpage here. If you come under education, you come down to law, okay? When you get into law, there is a... there's a tab here, it's called, oh goodness, what is it called? I don't have it on mine because I'm not signed in on this computer. I was having a problem trying to sign in on this computer, so I'm not logged in. But let me quickly, maybe if I can open real quick on my other, that's going to take forever to open. In any event, there is a tab that I think it says forms and procedures, something with forms. And in that is where I place this particular notice and demand if you want it. The notice demand is in 3 different boxes. One is in doing for habeas corpus. Another is moving your case to a federal court. Matter of fact, my page just opened, so let me see what it's called. Okay, get under education, law, and then it is court forms and process. That's what it's under. Now, if you're not logged in, you won't see that, and I think you have to be a premier member to see that page. I think that's that page and the government by consent course, the only two things that is not available to people that are not premier members. And a premier member is someone who's given us $5 a month or more, and then they have access to that page and also to that particular course, government by consent. But on this page, when you get to it, I can't show it on this computer here, but on this page you get to instructions and forms of challenge jurisdiction, and you'll see a file on demand. I replaced that file on demand with this new file on demand. Under that is also instructions and forms to move your case for cause. Again, I replaced that file on demand. And then there's instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus. I replaced that also file on demand. So all three of those file on demands are the same file on demands, and it's been updated to the new file on demand. So with that said, I'm going to really go quickly through this, read only a couple of parts of it, and people will get to it themselves and take a look at it, especially anybody wants to use it. It's the most powerful file on demand that I've ever written, and it may very well be the most powerful file on demand ever written, unless someone else has thought of these ideas too before. I've been thinking for many years about these things, and every once in a while you come up with a unique idea and say, oh, let me stick that in there. But anyway, it starts off, file on demand and the penalty of law. Clerk, please pay attention. Ignorance of the law is no defense. To the clerk, you are directed to obey the law by time stamping and providing a court case number on the enclosed copy of a front page of the complaint, and return said copy using the enclosed self-addressed address stamped envelope without delay. If you decide not to obey the law clearly stated below, please include your unlawful refusal to forward and return of the enclosed document, a copy of your oath, surety bond, and financials as required by law in accordance with 1 Stat 122 and 2 Stat 298 and Federal Rules of Civil Procedure Rule 902, Article 6, Clause 3, Title 31, U.S.C., Subsection 2251. You are compelled to answer under 28 U.S.C., Subsection 1361. Now, what was in my mind when I put this together was, I'm planning on going into court and not paying them money. I've had a problem trying to get into court and not giving them money. They stop you at the door. You can't get in. They won't file your papers. So what I'm going to do, and I suggest people to do if they want to do this also, is I'm filing my papers by serving them through the sheriff. I'm not going to use a professional server. I'm going to use the sheriff. And once that sheriff serves the papers, they can't deny that they didn't get it. Now, there's another way you can go. You can do it through certified mail. Again, they signed for it, and therefore, again, they can't deny that they got it. But I think the most powerful way to go is with the sheriff. So let me read on this. Clerk is to file under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076. Whoever, being a clerk of a district court of the United States, willfully refuses or neglects to make or forward any report, certificate, statement, or document as required by law, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Okay. Now, clerk is not to be persuaded. 18 U.S.C. 1512. And I wrote this in there particularly because clerks are persuaded by judges. So whoever, and I put into brackets judges, knowingly uses intimidation, threatens, or corruptly persuades another person, or attempts to do so, or engages in misleading conduct towards another person with the intent to influence, delay, or prevent the testimony of any person in an official proceeding, cause or induce any person to withhold testimony or withhold a record, document, or other object from an official proceeding, alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal an object with intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in an official proceeding, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Okay, and that's pretty powerful, pretty strong. Okay. C, whoever corruptly alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record, document, or other object, or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in official proceeding, or two, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding, or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Again, this is all focusing in on the judge, because it's the judge that will push the clerk. There is nobody else that would push this clerk to remove these papers, to send it back. Okay? So anyway, clerk cannot charge a fee. as per the United States Supreme Court. And this is Crandell versus Nevada, U.S. case. Living as we do, this is the quote from the court case, living as we do under a common government charged with the great concerns of the whole union, every citizen of the United States from the most remote states or territories is entitled to free access, not only to the principal departments established at Washington, but also to its judicial tribunals and public offices in every state of the union. So right there, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled you can't charge a fee to file a paper. Okay, as per American jurisprudence, constitutional law, subsection 326, justice and open courts, remedy for all injuries. In most of the state's constitution, there are provisions varying slightly in terms which stipulate that justice shall be administered to all without delay or denial, without sale or prejudice, and that the court shall always be open to all alike. These provisions are based largely upon the Magna Carta, Chapter 40, which provides, we will sell to no man. We will not deny any man either justice or right. So justice is a right. A court case is a right. It's an unalienable right, the right for us and we, the people, to go into the court and become a plaintiff. And the other thing, well, I think I covered it in here, but let me just finish this off. The chief purpose of the Magna Carta provision was to forbid the king from selling justice by imposing fees or litigants through his courts on litigants through his courts, and to deal a death blow to the attendant venal and disgraceful practices of a corrupt judiciary in demanding oppressive gratitudes for giving or withholding decisions in pending cases. It has been appropriately said that in a free government, the doors of litigations are already wide open and must constantly remain so. The extent of the constitutional provision has been regarded as broader than the original confines of Magna Carta, and such constitutional provisions has been held to forbid the selling of justice, not merely by magistrates, but by the state itself. Okay? So I got some others. I'm not going to read these here, but just basic point of it. The clerk is not to remove and return under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2170. Also, the same thing, guilty of tampering with public record, it's a D felony. That's subsection 17525. I believe that's New York law. But it doesn't matter. New York law has to be abided by, even no matter what state you're in. Same thing, each state to other states. 175.20, tampering with public records. Again, that's a Class A misdemeanor. Article 6, paragraph 2 of the Constitution declares that federal law is the supreme law of the land. As a result, when a federal law is in conflict with a state or a local law, the federal law will supersede the other law or laws. This is commonly known as preemption. Okay, again, superseding is found in 42 U.S.C. subsection 4846. Okay, and that brings us to the end of that. Now, there's another point, let me think if I remember what it was that I wanted to bring up concerning this. I don't remember what it was, but if I do, I'll just bring it up later on. So anyway, that's another notice and demand. It's pretty clear. My next court case that I'm filing, which will probably be the federal one, although, again, we have some other cases going on, so I might file something before that. And I'll let you know how I make out on that. But that's how I'm going to file it. I'm going to file it with this letter, this notice and demand to the clerk. I'll give him an envelope, a copy of the front page of the complaint, whereas they can put a timestamp on it and put it back into the envelope and send it back to me. I'll serve it by sheriff so that they can't refuse it. And I will, you know, I don't think I'll have a problem with the sheriff, at least not my sheriff. But if you do, sit down and have a conversation. Let's talk about it. If he's not going to obey the law, it's up to him to serve a paper. This is a document, a judicial process, and he's got a duty to serve that paper because it's being refused by the clerk. And we can show him right here, but it's by reading some of this to him, let him read it himself. It's against the law for them to charge a fee. And the only way we're going to get a court case into the court is by serving it where they have it, they can't deny they got it, and now they're stuck with it, aren't they? What are they going to do about that? And if you want to send my case back and tell me that you can't file this without a fee, well, we want their bond. We want their oath. We want their what's the other one? What is that called, the other one? Their financials. That's what it's called, financials. So that's what we're going to want. And I think that's pretty powerful. I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on them, and I think it's going to get into the courts. Because if the clerk refuses to send it back, now the judge has got to put his fingers or her fingers into the files, doesn't he? And he's the one that's going to have to take it out and put it back. And I doubt very much he's going to do that. Okay? I really doubt that. So if the clerk fears the wrath of the law, 1 year in jail and a fine, and the judge fears the wrath of the law, 20 years in jail and a fine, I think that may make them reconsider what's going on. I know what I wanted to say. It's not here, and if I can find it when we're moving through our program tonight, I'll bring it up, but if not, I'll bring it up next week. I'll just make a note on that. But it makes point that the people do not have to pay, okay? Fictions pay. Matter of fact, wasn't that in here? I think it was. I could have sworn it was. You know what? If it's not in here, I'm going to put it in here. It's a U.S. case. Living as we do, maybe this is it. Citizen is territory entitled to see a document. Okay. That's not it. And remove and return. You know, I didn't get it in here. I'm going to go back and look for this and put it in here, because what it says, this court case said that the purpose of the fees is for fiction and not people. That's interesting. I don't know how I failed not getting this into this. So I'll redo this, and I'll add that one in there on this paper during the week, and I'll reset them all back up on the website. But people could download this now. It's a PDF, and you can look at it. And when I get the other court case up there, I'll put that up there. So, okay, with that, I guess we'll move over to an open forum here now. Let me see where we're going to go here with this.
Hey, John?
Yep, go right ahead.
I don't know if you have ever did a Google search on National Liberty Alliance and looked at what comes up. And it's pretty bad. I mean, you said they don't have our name on there. They got this article that's horrible.
Well, they got three articles. One's in the New York Times. One went to the New York Times. The other one went to the Police Magazine, went to every police officer in the nation. And the third one is just one that they have on their website. So there's three papers that they've done on us. But if you go to their website and look for the list, their terrorist list, okay, you'll find that our name is not on it.
Yeah, but look at the damage they're doing to us.
Well, that's why we're suing.
I mean, look, National Liberty Alliance is on top. Free common law courses, PDF. The next thing, the second thing after National Liberty Alliance is National Liberty Alliance Southern Poverty Law Center. Although their website claims not to be affiliated with the Sovereign Citizen Movement, NLA in its former incarnation as New York Liberty, and they go through everything that we ever did. I mean, they know this. They watched us closely, and they're taking stuff out of context. But when you go through this, and then they have an attachment here that does mention us, and Terry Tressel, and they say NLA members have been known to engage in acts of harassment, intimidation, and threats against government officials. Where's the proof of that? This is all lies. The NLA appears highly organized and capable of carrying out national letter writing and sovereign notification campaigns against the courts, public officials, and law enforcement. There's no evidence of that.
Right.
I mean, they're calling our action in the courts as campaigns against these public officials. Well, guess what? The public officials are breaking the law, and our suits are, you can call them campaigns against public officials technically, because they are. But they're legal. They're legal and lawful. Their membership may be trained in filing frivolous lawsuits and liens and how to issue bogus indictments and outlandish monetary demands on the government based on a review of documents posted to the former NLA website and the current NL New York Liberty Alliance and New York and National Liberty Alliance website. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. It's really bad, though. I mean, it's like...
Well, yeah. And I downloaded those pages and attached them to our case.
Yeah.
We've got them in there.
It's the second thing on Google. That, you know what? I didn't realize how bad it was, and that's what got me ticked off. You know,
well, that's been up there since, I think, 2015, maybe even earlier, 2014.
Yeah, this is bad.
It's been up there a long time. And
anyway, I just thought I'd mention that because it's like, it's just because we're not on the list, they do this whole thing up front. Mm-hmm. When you go looking for National Liberty Alliance, and right under us is Southern Poverty Law, go, hey, these guys are a bunch of, you know, sovereign citizen terrorists.
Right.
That's damage, and that's dangerous. And so I just...
Well, absolutely. And again, you know, we're in the process of that suit, so we're going to...
All right. I'll shut up now.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to the open forum here. Just one more note again, and I already mentioned this. I'm going to repeat myself. I did find a court case. I'm looking for it right now. I'm not finding it, but I'm going to look for it during the week. I just recently had this court case. It's a U.S. Supreme Court court case decision, and it talked about the fact that a fee was made originally for fiction. Fictions have to pay a fee, and I can appreciate that. That makes sense, okay? People do not, all right? So that's key, and I'm going to add that into...
Well, they feel comfortable because they turned people into a fiction.
Well, of course, that's what they did.
Yeah, so they think they're within the law.
In order to defeat that point, they're going to have to say, well, by the way, we made you a fiction in such a day. Well, by what authority did you make me a fiction? I didn't know anything about it to begin with, but where do you have the power, the authority to change the Constitution, to change the law, you know? But anyway, maybe that's what's meant in the Bible. It talks about the times will come when they think they can change the law. And they've done that. They've made abortion legal. That's changing God's law. That's an issue for God. That's not an issue. That's an issue for the King's Bench, which is in a court of law, not in a court of equity. So the United States Supreme Court never had the power to make that. They don't have the power to make any decision on issues at all, period. You know, no issues can they make a decision on. They can only make decisions on law, whether it be equity, which is positive law, or law, which is common law, because those are the meaning. Equity means positive law, and law means common law. That's according to Blacks, according to Bouvier's, that's the law. So, okay, let's go to our queue. If anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're in on a phone, it's a *6 and then I think a 1. And if you're in here on a, trying to find my thing here, if you're in here,
do the questions, Sean. It'd
be a place where you can add yourself to the queue. Okay, let's take our first question. We have 3 people in the queue right now. Anybody else wants to get in right now. We'll hit the first person. It's, let's see, it's Ross. How you doing, Ross?
Good. You hear me?
You got the mic. We hear you.
Okay, I have a question about, I have a problem. Why haven't I received my, certificate for the accredited course for DeJoy administrative course.
Okay. That's for the jury administrator. We don't have up. We don't have that up yet, but we will be putting one up soon. To get through the jury administrator course and get the certificate for that, which I'll bet dollars a donut you probably qualify at this point, you have to do all of the courses plus the judiciary course. Have you done the civil course and the constitutional?
Yes, I have. I did all of those.
Okay, so that gets you a certificate, and we'll be putting that up soon.
Yeah, because do I have to do the review thing after I did all the quizzes in the joint administrative course or no?
Well, what do you mean the review thing?
They give you a thing you have to do, take all the quizzes again after you get the result already.
No, you only have to go through it once. Once you've done
it,
you've got through it, it's done. I am working on, I've been working on this for a long time. I just haven't been able to get back to complete it yet. But I'm working on a book It's a handbook which will be available to people in PDF form, and I probably will put it up on the internet also, where people can purchase a pocket handbook on this. But it'll be an administrator's handbook, which will really guide people to what their duties are, what they need to be careful of, and how we have to deal with the juries and be careful how we speak to the juries, and gets into a lot of the different issues and processes of the duties of the administrator, and also, you know, filling out the paperwork. We'll be looking for a paralegal for every county as much as for administrators, and that paralegal will be also an administrator, so that there'll be sort of a fifth wheel there. Someone goes on vacation, someone gets sick, whatever the case may be, you have that extra person. But they will be handling the paperwork for the legal side of things, to write up, for instance, a true bill for a grand jury. But we will be given instructions on how to handle that inside of the handbook, and also how the money flows and the paychecks and all that other stuff. All that information will be inside that handbook. And again, that is not completed yet, and we will be moving on that. Next week, I'm going to hopefully be able to give a report on how many committees of safety we have. I do have kind of bad news on that. I've been reporting that we've had 121 committees of safety, and that's what I counted when I went from state to state. But I understand it's more like 80 or 90, because some of those, for some reason, repeated into different states. And that's something we just recently found out, or at least something I recently found out. So we have less than 121. We probably have 80 or 90. And maybe hopefully by the time I make the report next week, maybe we'll have more than that. But it's up to the people to step up and save America. Anybody listen to the rally that Trump just had over the weekend? He made this point numerous times throughout the rally, I understand, and that is, now is the time to do something. Now is the time to get up. Now is the time for action. Okay? Now is the time for action. So if you're not in a committee of safety, you need to get into a committee of safety and start taking care of doing your duty. And if there is no committee of safety in your county, then start one. And if you don't have the ability to articulate very well, and you don't have the ability, or you feel you're not able to actually organize this, well, bear in mind, you're not going to be alone. You'll find a partner here and a partner there. You'll get two people together, three people together. And if you don't want the main position, you can pass it to someone else as soon as possible. But get it started. And you can be honest when someone calls you on the phone. If someone asks, you know, gives you a call, hey, you know, I see you got a committee of safety going. Yeah, I just started it. You know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm looking for a lot of help and looking for someone who can articulate themselves well and maybe take some lead positions. But we need to organize, and I want to do whatever I can, and that's why I did what I did. And just be honest to them. You know, every one of us is on a learning curve. I went to the school. Everything I've ever done in my life is from the School of Hard Knocks. I'm an eighth grade graduate. That's about it. I did go into the first year high school, but I never finished. I got my GED. I went to college for maybe a couple of semesters, and I was bored there and I left. And everything I learned I learned in the School of Hard Knocks. You know, I've done engineering, I've done architectural work, I've done construction work, I'm a contractor, a general contractor, a construction manager. I understand the law pretty well. I feel confident in the court now. I write papers, done research, I've studied history, I've written books. But all of that is because of the School of Hard Knocks. I just believed I can do it. And even though I knew I couldn't, when I said I believe I could do it, I said, well, I'll work it out. And, you know, where the will is, I learned this one from a long time ago when I was young. I learned this, a lot of little sayings I remember when I was a kid. One of them was, where the will is, the way will follow. I believed that. I actually believed that. And I think from believing that is what has driven me to be able to do the things I do. You know, I'm no big intellectual or anything. I just spend a lot of time on a subject, and before you know it, these words just spill out of your mouth. I have no idea how that all happens, you know. But, you know, everybody just has to believe in themselves. You have to have a goal, You have to realize and believe where the will is, the way follows. You have to have self-discipline. You know, that is the key to all success, by the way, self-discipline. If you do not have self-discipline, you got to get self-discipline. And self-discipline is pretty simple, really. Sitting down by yourself, having a conversation with yourself. You know, what is it? There's a song we play from time to time, Silence and I. We will work it out. Go to a place of silence and start talking to yourself. Start recognizing your deficiencies. Start realizing your faults. Make a little note. You don't have to be specific in case someone pulls upon your notes. You don't have to be specific. Just put key words there, bullet points, okay? And then make bullet points of things you need to change and work at it one at a time. And things you want to do, you have to spend time every day on that issue and whatever it is you want to do. But you have to get self-discipline. And self-discipline, you know, I've gotten to the point I don't have to write it down to self-discipline myself. It's part of my nature at this point. I always realize I have to self-discipline myself. I have to force myself to do things. I have to require the time to do these things. So I've gotten into those habits. And you can start those habits by just making little notes and looking at your notes every day. Oh, yeah, I got to do this, or I got to think about that, and I got to push myself about this. And you make notes of bad habits that you have, and you write them down, and you keep looking at them. And every time you do them, you make the repair at the time. You talk to yourself. You chastise yourself. You know, they say people who talk to themselves are crazy. It's the other way around. People who don't talk to themselves are crazy. I talk to myself all the time. Of course, I have God involved in my conversation. But nevertheless, you know. All right, anyway, back to you, Ross. I'm sorry.
Yes. How high will the pay will go for Joy Administrators at least?
How does what?
How high the pay will go for Joy Administrators?
Well, I don't know. I've been back and forth on that. We don't want to bring it too high. I mean, it's got to be a good. In today's economy, people in a job like that probably should be making $70,000, $80,000 a year, maybe more. You know, we have to look at the going rates through the mean system. And today, it's hard to tell because everything's so wacky. You know, a person making $20 an hour is not making enough money to live. They're struggling. I could never survive on $20 an hour. It's just so difficult. You know, how can you do that? You know, 10 years ago, $20 an hour was pretty darn good. You know, 20 years ago was even better. But today, it's you just can't make it. You can't pay your bills. That's why so many kids are still living with their parents, because they just can't make it out on their own. And the parents need the help anyway, because they're not having enough income coming in either. So collectively, a family has a better income, a bigger income, and able to pay the bills, and that's the way it is at the moment. But remember, we're getting to the other side of things. The dollar, and I've been talking about this for years, and I wrote a paper on this. It's up on our website, and it's called 2 Cents Worth. Okay, that's the paper I wrote called 2 Cents Worth. And the dollar is literally worth 2 cents. That's it. You can figure that out just by putting the ratio of silver to gold to begin with. You can look at the value of what you can buy. I wrote through this paper. We went through what bread cost back in the beginning of the 20th century versus what it is today, and milk, what milk went for, what a pound of beef went for. I mean, all these things. You go when I was a kid, you'd buy a Milky Way candy bar, which was a pretty decent sized candy bar. Okay, it filled me up as a kid. I didn't need more than one. But you get a Milky Way or you get a Three Musketeer, and it was a nickel. Today it's $2.15, $2.50. You know, you go into these gas stations or little grocery stores. That's what they're selling. You know,
John.
The point is that everything is really way out of control. So we don't know exactly, but we'll work that out. And there's what's called the means system, MEANS system, and that's for all of the different. Different kinds of businesses. I was in the construction business. I bought a book. I used to buy a book every year, The Mean System, and it gave all of the statistics and the cost of the labor and all and everything, the materials on the year before, and they renew every year. And that's in all different businesses and different careers. There's mean systems and everything. And they'll give different percentages, different cities, maybe a higher pay. If you live in New York City, you get a little more money per hour than someone that's living up in, upstate New York or something. So there are percentage changes and so on. So we'll have to work it out, but it'll be a good professional pay.
I live in Clackamas County. It's mostly rural county anyways, means the pay probably less.
Not by much, maybe 10% at the most, if that high. Again, you have to realize if you lived in New York City, you're not going to get an apartment for under $5,000. Do you understand? You got to understand that.
Yes.
Where you live, you might get an apartment for $1,000 or $2,000. I don't know what it goes for there. I know things are really crazy here in Dutchess County, and I'm not in the city. But it's still, you pay 2-3, maybe even 4 times the amount in the major cities than you would. And that's why the adjustment would be there. Okay. But it wouldn't be much. A person living in a rural area is probably, it will make out better because everything is cheaper in a rural area than it is in the city. Even though you're making a little less, you get more bang for your dollar.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
We'll move to the next person. Thanks, Ross. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll take our next questioner or person. Next question. I wish they wouldn't put that end Q&A so close to the next question. I've hit that once or twice wrong. Okay, we got Dan from North Carolina. How you doing, Dan? You got the mic.
Hey, John.
Oh, that's Antramina. I guess Dan got kicked off. I don't see him anymore. Go ahead, Antramina.
Hey, did you get my question? Did you ever come across my joiner yet?
I've been down for over a week, so I mean I'm able
okay.
to work, but I haven't been able to go online at all, and I just got my laptop going, and this is really horrible. I don't want to come back on with a laptop again, especially on.
Well, the sheriff's charge for service processing, though, in Florida, the charge for I think it's $40-$45
for what? For service processing.
Yeah.
With sheriff. I think that's appropriate. I don't think that is a problem for that charge because there's
If you don't have it, though, if you're indigent, it is a problem.
Well, you can bypass them altogether just by serving them by certified mail. And
That's what I do. I just serve things I do FedEx or UPS Brown with where they have to sign for it. They have to sign for it. Yeah.
You know, that's a good That's a good point. I like that idea with FedEx. FedEx is really a good way to do it. But I'm thinking of doing sheriff, though. Mm-hmm. With the cases I have going, I want to intimidate. And they need
to be. Did you see on the last recording when I told Gerard that there's a case I have that I finally went back to. I started back in about 2016 and how they BS'd me around and whatever, and I reopened it. Okay. And so the clerk wanted to charge me $50. So I paid it.
Can you send me a copy of the paper you used to reopen it? I was reading on that, reopening a case, and basically it's just a matter of writing a paper and requesting the case to be reopened.
They didn't want it like that. They sent me this kind of check-off thing that they decided to charge me.
They wanted $50, but they did reopen the case, right?
Yeah. They opened
that's
it,
the point.
And they accepted more documents.
Hold on a minute. That is the point I'm trying to make. If you have to pay the $50 and you really want your case to be reopened, then you pay it and you move on.
You get your money back
when you get into the court. But with this notice and demand, then you might
get... Wait, you need to know what I'm about to tell you is urgent. Hold that thought. Now, I paid it, and they filed more documents after that. Everything was fine until I hit them with the writ of quo warranto. Now, remember I said I paid it. And I have my receipt, my money order. I made a copy of the money order. I'm quite efficient because I should be a legal secretary. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a call. I want to just make this note because we're running late. I'm going to give you a call shortly. You still want to volunteer to help on these books to create questions for the school book?
Yeah, I'll help you.
I want to give you a call on that.
Yeah.
Anybody else that wants to help, we can use the help. We're taking certain books. Hold on a minute. We're taking certain books. I want everybody else to hear this. We're taking certain books, and we're turning them into textbooks for children. They're very powerful books. For anybody that's interested in assisting us to look chapter to chapter, read through the chapter, and then create really good questions at the end for our kids.
I highly recommend making a workbook to your book, since you don't have questions at the end of the book.
Hold on. I just want to finish off the point and then also get a message out. We've got 12 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. I have to leave in 12 minutes.
But so I was trying to tell you about what they did.
I just want to just set a stage here. Let me set a stage. Okay. I got 12 minutes. I got to leave. Maybe Gerard can
take
after that if necessary. I'm going to give you two minutes, and we've got two other people I want to give at least 5 minutes to. But go ahead. I'm going to go to you now.
As soon as they receive the Coronto, guess what? They turn right around and say, oh, you know, that case was closed, you know, back in 2018, so you're going to need to pay $50 and snack. How's that for crookedness?
Yeah, I heard
that. Remember I told you they reopened the case.
I listened to the program that Gerard did last week. I did hear you talking about that, so I'm familiar with
that. That's all I've seen.
It's not a surprise to me, as I'm sure it's not a surprise to you.
Well, that's just a different thing.
I know.
I've had many surprises. That's a different one. That's only for a loop on that one. I can't believe they put that back in writing again, you know? They know they reopened the case.
Yep.
You're going to say that again to avoid the Coronto? Really?
Well, again, I would not file anything with the court anymore without a cover page to the clerk, which is called a notice and demand. So, okay.
Well, you said don't file anything until after devolution.
Yeah, I got another 30 seconds for you, then I got to move on because there's two people and I want to give them time.
Well, Gerard is suggesting I don't file anything else until after devolution.
Yeah, well, why don't we talk about that next week? Get on early and we'll talk a little bit about that. That might be a wise idea. And actually, see, I'm filing cases that I wanted to wait till after the devolution, but devolution is so close and in play. Look, if you move your case forward now, you'll be in the game at the time as devolution is playing out. You're not going to get 30 days before they respond, 30 days before you get back in and even get into the first hearing. So you're on the other side of devolution at that point. But with that, I got to go through two other people.
Okay.
And if you want to get back in the queue and if Gerard wants to keep things going, that's up to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give these other people time, okay? And let's talk about that next week. I it's an interesting subject, okay?
Okay.
And give me a copy of that what you wrote to open your case up because I'm working on language.
Nothing. They just asked for the $50 and it's like a cover sheet. They
just
attach
give the money.
Doctor's back. Give
me the money. That's all they want, right?
right. So they sent another cover sheet. Said, okay, let me have some more money, and they sent back the Coronto.
All right. Let me go. We'll talk again. Thank you.
All
right. Okay. We got a next caller. Let's see, that's Walt from New York. Go ahead, Walt. You got the mic.
Yes, Jack, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you good, thanks.
Okay. First thing I want to about three quick things. The first thing is, earlier in the show, you were mentioning a Supreme Court case and some laws about the right to file a case. Did you say it was Crandall versus Nevada? Is that the one? Is that what you said?
Yeah, let me see if I can open that back up. Give me a minute, and I'll tell you. Let's see.
Just give me the general there. I can get the library to find it for me.
Yeah, and if you can go up to the website and download this thing, you'll get it there. And there's another court case that's even more powerful. It's Crandall, C-R-A-N-D-E-L, V versus Nevada. It's 73 U.S. 35, 1867. Crandall versus Nevada. And there's another court case I will be getting up here and hope to have by next week that makes the point that it's for fiction. It's not for the people.
Okay.
So that's what fees are for fiction.
Can you mention one federal law that states that?
A federal order states that? Let me see what I got. Hold on.
A dozen or maybe it's eight of them tonight you mentioned.
Well, look at, yeah, there's quite a few. Again, everything's written on this notice and demand if you download it. But give me a second. Let's see. First of all, they must file. We got plenty of information on that. They can't be persuaded. We got information on that. That U.S. case says they cannot charge a fee. American jurisprudence, this is the most powerful. American jurisprudence law, subsection 326, that's the law of the land. It's American jurisprudence. All judges must obey American jurisprudence. Even though they don't, we can hold their feet to the fire. And it says right there that it cannot be sold in there. I read that out. I'll just read a little part. It says, in most of the state constitutions, there are provisions varying slightly in terms which stipulate that justice shall be administered to all without delay or denial, without sale or prejudice, and that the court shall always be open to all alike. And it talks about it stemming from the Magna Carta. So, again, American jurisprudence, constitutional law, subsection 326. Now, let's see. Clerk can't remove. Person is guilty. Tampering. Falsifying. Tampering. Constitution. Okay, that's what I got so far. And then there's a Supreme Court case. I'll look for some others and see what else I can find.
All right. And John, two more quick things. Can you give me your address if I want to send a check to you?
Yeah, appreciate that. You could do it. Send it to NLA or National Liberty Alliance. You can write it out or just put NLA and send it to 3979 Albany Post Road. That's 3979 Albany Post Road.
Yep.
Hyde Park, New York, two words, Hyde, second word, Park, P-A-R-K, Hyde Park, New York, 12538. And if you go up to the donation tab on the top right side, you'll get an address there also for people who want to send a check or money, and you'll get that address.
But, the last thing I want to say is this. I talked about this several months ago before about the hexagon, 6.x.
Yep.
It's in Revelation chapter 13. You'll see it there. I think it's starting around verse 10, or no, about 15, 16, around there. They talk about this mark of the beast, but I didn't realize it. You don't have to have a mark of the beast. A substitute can be the name of the beast or the number of the beast. You can read it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you can see what that six-pointed hex is. You count the 6 points, you count the 6 triangles, and you count the 6 lines, and that is nestled on the backside of our dollar bill. You take the, you look in there with all those stars there. You take the center one out, you'll see that six-pointed hex. That is the mark of the beast or the number of the beast, 666.
Yeah, they,
right?
They love that. They love that number 6, the elite, and they have all kinds of symbolism, and that 6 shows up all the time, or 666 or whatever.
So it's right on the 6 point.
The key point.
So cannot be King David's star because he would never be.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Look,
thank you very much, John. I'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Okay. We'll take our next caller in a second. The key point to that point, okay, concerning the revelation and the number of the beast, 666, and so on and so forth, and it identifies with the will. It's in the forehead or in the hand. And in the forehead is identifying with the will. They identify the mark of the beast is in the will. And the mark of the beast is a number of mankind. In other words, you're the body of mankind and not the body of Christ, or the body of the Antichrist, or the body of the kingdom of Satan, shall we say, and not the body of Christ. And that is really the point. So the will is identified with the mind, so that's the forehead, or the hand, which is what you reach forward and take. And so it is symbolic, and we do see the symbols everywhere. We do see and relate it a lot of things concerning, you know, the mark of the beast in action. We can see it clearly, you know, what these people are doing. But anyway, with that, let's go on to our next caller. Thanks a lot, Walt. Appreciate that. Let me see if I can find. Here it is. Okay. We're going to go to John. Michigan, it looks like. Give me a second. It looks like our last caller, John from Michigan. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you, John. Hey, you were talking about the fictional persons And that's exactly what you're one thing I think I mentioned this to before. A person is a fictional thing. A person, there's a difference between a person and people. You know, we the people wrote the Constitution, but anytime you look up person in legal dictionary, it's a legal fiction or a corporation. So you keep on using the word person, and there's two different languages going here. Legal language is entirely different than the vernacular we use, and we keep on mixing it up, but that's the problem. But don't use the word person. That's a person is an artificial entity. A people isn't.
You might be right. I can't argue that point because I am familiar with their play on words and how they change the meaning of words. You know, look, at they've made it a sin to be called a citizen, for instance. You know, you don't want to be called a citizen. And when I was first learning these things, a lot of the people that were teaching things concerning these things is never go in and mention that you're a citizen in the courts. You're not a citizen. You're a people and so on and so forth. And of course, it makes sense because they polluted the meaning of the word. But the fact of the matter is the word citizen is used 7 times in the Constitution. So that word is something our founding fathers used. And it identifies with us as a group of people in this republic, in this case. We're not in a democracy. We're not in some other kind of a republic that is not a natural law republic. But what I'm going to do, I've got a root dictionary. And I'm going to go, because it takes time to change the meaning of a word. And in regular dictionaries, it might take, 10, 20 years to make that change. In the legal dictionaries, such as Black's or Bouvier's, it could take 50 years to 100 years to actually be able to make that change within that book area, within those dictionaries. And I do know, I think they're up to number 7 in Black's, 7 or 8. They're up there pretty far. I stick with, I got 2 and I got 3. Let me think, 2? And I think it's 3. Let's see, Black's Law, 3rd edition. I'm pretty sure it's the 3rd edition. And I got the 2nd edition. So I got those 2 editions. And I got the hardcover book, you know, the book itself. I got that in the 2nd edition. So I'll go back and look at person in those and then look at person later on in the later, interpretations of the meaning of a word and how it's used. And where they draw the meanings from ultimately is from law, and they've been writing a lot of law, a lot of legislation, and if you go into USC 26, they play that game with the word person, and they change you into a fiction. So the play on words is there. The change has probably been made. I'm going to go seek it out and see what I can find, how far back I can trace it. And again, I do have a root dictionary, and I got that thing back in, goodness, maybe the 80s. And it's a huge book. And even being a huge book with 2 volumes, two huge books, it comes with a magnifying glass because it's so tiny. It's got everything in there. So I'm going to see what that book says on the root. I'll also check to see what Webster's has done. I think I got an old Webster's, and I'll see what that has done. And take it from there. With that, I'm going to have to go. So hang on 1 minute, right? I'll be leaving in a minute.
Okay. Well, are you still there?
I just want to let my son know I've got to go pick him up from work. So I see some more people have entered the queue. But Gerard, if you want to continue the queue, because I got to go. I got to go, Gerard. Are you
still with him?
All right. I guess he's not here. Good. Did you want to make a final statement before we go, John?
Well, I just, you'll also see in the definition where person.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. Get back into the queue. I accidentally hit the next question. Get into the queue. John, see if you can get back into the queue. There you go. Let me unmute you now. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You wanted to make a final statement?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, John. We got you back.
Yeah. Well, it also, in definition of person, it uses the word individual, a natural person. I mean, the person shall mean natural person. To use the word in the definition of the word is insanity. It's like saying blue is the color blue. But then they use the word individual, but the way individual has to be used under has to be used as an individual corporation, individual fictional entity. You know, so an individual is not a person or not a people. It's not a man or woman. And they have to, if they have to be able to differentiate that. And they don't write man or woman. So, I mean, if you're a man or woman, that's the common law. And the way the common law is written right now, person is not one. A person doesn't have a right to common law. They don't have any rights at all. They're a corporation.
I'm going to look into the word, the meanings. I appreciate that. I can't agree or disagree with you on that because I don't have knowledge and I try to be very careful. And I'm also going to look into the Bible to see what I can find, if the word person is found in there and how it's used, how God uses the word person. And but it is something that they play around with, and they try to destroy meanings. And look at, you know, one thing I never do, I learned a while back, is not to go into the court pro se. That's what they want you to use, is the word pro se, which means you're self-represented ultimately. That's what it means. I'm not represented by anything, even self-represented. When I go in, if I'm going to use any words, I'm going to put in personam. Right. But that brings us back to the word person. So I want to dig deeper into that.
Yeah, man or woman, that's the biggest thing, a man or woman. Because when they say the term includes, if it's not included in there, if it's not there, it's not mentioned. They never say man and never say woman. You know, the thing about a person, if you cut a person, if you cut a man or woman, they bleed. If you cut a person, it's just a piece of paper. It's an artificial thing, so it doesn't. And they can certainly control what they create, and they create persons. So,
they can control it in the verbiage, and they can think that they're protected. But the bottom line is they subverted the Constitution and the meaning of things for their own purpose to subvert this republic, and that makes it unlawful. We the people ordained and established the Constitution. Not them. They're underneath it. They have no power, no authority to change it, to alter it, to make it mean something else that we didn't give it to mean. And if we want to know the meaning of a word, the meaning of a phrase, and the meaning of the language of the Constitution, then study the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. Read through it very carefully and refer back to the Constitution as you read through it. And by the time you get to the end, you'll come to a good understanding.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But I'm just saying, it's we the people, not we the persons. That's just think about
it. Absolutely. But again, let's bring this subject back up next week. I'm going to look into it.
All right. I'll let you go. You've got to pick up your son. So.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. We're going to have to end things. I see Dan is back in and Andromeda, but I got to go. We'll see you next week, Willen. So with that, let me click on the recording here. I keep going from my mouse, and my mouse doesn't work, this computer. So, okay, the recording.